I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to throw. Time. Oh, they sack him. Jason Hatcher. Jason Hatcher, for crying out loud.
So I woke up yesterday from my nap, and all of a sudden I get a text from Jonathan Shipman, which, you know, something major has happened.
What, J. Cole dropped an album?
Pat Mahomes got another roommate in his former house that he lived in. No, I'm like seeing a shippy text on audio, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is the station okay? Like, what's going on? And the text was, you're going to want to play this tomorrow morning. Jason Hatcher, former Cowboys defensive lineman who we covered, in studio with Ben and Skin. He was so good, they kept him in for three segments. It was all worth it. Now, before we play this assassination of Tony Romo and Jason Garrett, how do you remember Jason Hatcher as a teammate, as a guy? Because when it comes to, and he's probably up listening, and he knows the label, and I worked with him for 8 years, when it comes to our main man, Jesse Holly, he sometimes gets the rap of, oh, bitter, never made it, you're a bum, you're trying to get your name out there by spitting headlines and throwing out crazy fire. Patrick Crayton, you're bitter too. Does that apply to Jason Hatcher?
All right, so Jason Hatcher was here during the time where I was in the locker room almost as much as Mike Fisher is. I was in there at least 3 days a week. That was my job, part of my job when I was at ESPN. That's what I did. I was not a full beat guy, but and so I was on the trips with them, but I was in the locker room all the time. Jason Hatcher was awesome. There was not a bad thing you could say about the guy. Win or lose, he was given quotes. He was a good dude. Stephen Bone was another good dude. Those were the they were on the same side of the locker room. They were right there. They were awesome guys to go to. You would Terrence Newman, you know, had his thing going on. Orlando Scandrick would talk.
Ratliff.
Ratliff was always there. But Hatcher was awesome.
Okay.
So, and he was not disgruntled. He did not, like, you know, people say Jesse's disgruntled because he got cut. Okay. Hatcher signed a 4-year deal with the Redskins for, but at the time, it was in the mid-20s and millions. I mean, that was a good contract 8 years ago, 6 years ago. Still is a good contract. You know, I mean, Jason Hatcher left for money. If I remember right, that was around, you know, they had a scheme change because he was a 3-4 guy under Parcells and Wade.
Yeah.
And then he leaves here after 2011 or 12 and goes to Washington. And that at that point, we had already switched to the Monty Kiffin. Rob, you know, it would already switch, so it was different.
Okay, so there's the background on what we remember about Jason Hatcher. This is Hatcher yesterday on Ben and Skin, starting off with his thoughts on Tony Romo.
Romo was thinking he was kind of like feeling like he was like a Brett Favre. And I'm like, dude, you ain't did nothing. Like, what have you done? Like, you got your own little space that you leave. Don't come in the locker room and interact with your teammates. But you call yourself a leader? Nah, partner, it don't work like that. But a lot of people don't know that. So y'all got me on here. You asked me for the
truth. I don't want to hear it. What is this space? What is
this? I really don't care about how nobody feels. I'm just telling you the truth. He got great numbers, trust me. But he's had so many opportunities. Like, if I was a GM, Romo do not have the ability to make people around him like want to go and want to play for him. Like, I don't want to hear every day we got to keep chopping wood. I don't want to hear that. Like, do something. Let's hang out. Let's get to know each other. Like, don't come and after you done chill with Jerry, go to Duke, you know, in the press box with him, and then come down here and try to relate to people that's about the players. Like, I don't respect nobody like that. I'll take Dak any day over that. And Dak right now will win your championship way before Romo.
Woo! Woo! Well,
and a few minutes prior to that, you know, a few minutes prior to him saying that, he had said, look, Dak has got a long way to go before he's going to win. So for him to say that, really is a shot at Tony.
We could do the whole segment on that one clip. Yep. All right.
That one soundbite.
Like, I don't respect nobody like that.
I mean, yo.
All right, so.
But hang on, real quick. I'm sorry. We had talked about when Dak got here and Tony was hurt. When Tony kind of was getting back into the fold, what did he do? He invited everyone over his house. Remember that? He had a party.
Well, he was having dinners and he had a big party.
And he had never done that before.
Right.
He never had a party before. And, you know, he sensed it. I mean, look, and look, I don't blame Tony for not being this Dak-type leader because not everyone is a leader. Some people just aren't. I'm not. I don't try to be. I don't want to be. Let me come into work. Let me do my job. Let me go home. That could be Tony. And you don't have – there's nothing that says the quarterback has to be this rah-rah great leader guy. But
Eli,
you got to be respected by your teammates.
Yeah. We've been told many of these stories behind the scenes. We tried to tell you it was Mark Sanchez that helped out Dak and not Tony. That Tony – a lot – do you know how many people rolled their eyes out at the star? And look, Cowboy fans – I don't care. I'm neither team Dak or team Tony. I'm just telling you what we've been told by reliable people. Do you know how many people rolled their eyes out at the star when Tony Romo was giving that farewell press conference? I was melting. You know, I was loving it. I'm like, this is a Rudy moment, and cue the background music. But the word was Jason Garrett didn't know it was happening. A lot of people didn't know it was happening. And Tony did that to grandstand. Tony did that for attention. That I'm just telling you what I was told multiple times. And then we did ask these questions. When you and DeMarco and Tony had these dinners as well with DeMarco, with Witten.
Jason.
With Dez.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Okay? So, like, when they go on the trips to watch Duke with Jason, when they sit in the box with Jerry at AT&T for other events, does that piss off other teammates? Does that get under their skin? And here's an example of it. An elitist approach, an elitist feeling, and people notice that he was not around. He wasn't Mr. Rah-Rah Dak Prescott, and I wouldn't have been either. I wouldn't have been either. I'm the first to admit. I want everyone in the station to do well every Monday at noon when ratings come out. I want us to be at the top. You know, if I was hospitalized for 3 months for something over at Methodist or Baylor, you think I would want to know that my substitute had our show number one, whereas I may have it, you know, we may be two or three or four. So I get it, but the whole perception, people didn't want to hear that Tony wasn't sitting there holding Dak Prescott's hand.
They didn't want to hear. And the difference in Tony and Dak, and this is, you know, Tony came from the rank and file of the team. And that's what Jason Hatcher was. He was the average guy. He wasn't the big money guy. He was the rank and file. Dak won over the locker room by winning over the middle guy, right? The middle guy, the average dude. And, you know, Tony won over Witten and DeMarco and Sean Lee and, he won over the guys at the top. And he figured if I win these guys over, it'll work itself out. Well, it didn't. You know, now it doesn't mean that he wasn't respected or liked, but he wasn't friends with them. Like Dak, it seems like when you go in there, can walk up to any person in that locker room and have a conversation with them about what's going on in their life. And that makes him special.
Yeah.
And that makes him somebody that these guys love to play with and play for.
Jason Hatcher in studio with Ben and Skin yesterday with another Romo opinion.
Think about right now how freaking hard that defense play. You know why? Because they respect a leader. That's why. Mm-hmm. It's a difference. Tom Brady, they have the it. Tom Brady, he treat the freaking janitor like he treat the boss. Like that's what set fire. That's why people love me to this day. People, my teammates call me right now. It ain't nobody I can't get on the phone with. Everybody respect me. Because I'm in the same fire you in. Like I'm not going to go chill with the owner and the coaches. That ain't my place. I'm a team player. I'm about the players. And that's why Romo lost the team. That's why he didn't have absolutely no respect. Maybe for Witten and all the other guys, the guys that was up there making all the money. You know, they put them in the group. But for it's like the real people that go to war, the real authentic people, no respect at all.
Dang. Now, I have a hard time believing that the defense is going to play harder. Their fourth quarter stand is going to be played with so much more effort because Dak Prescott's the quarterback. They're not playing for Prescott.
They're not.
They're playing for their damn contract, and they're playing to get the W on their own. And they're not playing because of who the quarterback is.
No, they're not. They don't care. when they're playing, they don't care who the quarterback is.
See, I kind of disagree with that, only because, of course, I'm stalking Myles Garrett last night after the Browns move and Odell Beckham going to the Browns. He said in an interview in the NFL Network, I'm excited for next year. I'm excited to get on the field and make a strip sack and get the ball back to the offense because I want to see what they do. I think sometimes defenses want to do that.
Well, look, I think that you could quit on a team that you could play to a level. Let's just say this. Let's say you have a bad quarterback and you know you cannot screw up. The Denver defense with Tebow played out of their minds because they knew that they really couldn't give up 28 points and still win the game.
Yes.
But they also knew if they kept them close, Tebow had some weird little magic going.
Yeah.
But if you get
Jacksonville, same thing.
Right. But if you get a great quarterback in there, you know, you might human nature take over and you can, I don't play 128% in this play. Dude, we're going to score anyway. It's not a big deal. We'll have a makeup drive.
Yeah.
So that might play into it, but I don't think that players actually care or are thinking about who they like on the team.
My favorite messages that I got yesterday while people were recapping this, all the Tolos, listen for Ben's devastation. As Ben was like, ooh, Ben was taking body punches with every robo shot.
He's in the ring with Errol Spence Jr., the body snatcher. Yeah. Boom, boom.
He's like, whoa, wait, what do you mean? He's taking all these body blows that Jason Hatcher is delivering. Okay, now let's move on to the golden child, the one that the defense is going to play so much harder for, the one that, you know, you'd take to win a championship over Tony Hatcher on Dak.
You take Zeke out the equation, then you ask yourself, okay, do I really like Dak that much? That's from a business aspect. I'm looking at that like, okay, I don't really know if he can do it, but I don't know if it's Jerry and him not giving him the playbook, not seeing what he really can do. Because he really inconsistent on his passing. You know, he can't really put balls in windows and stuff like that. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling the truth of what I watch Cowboys faithfully. He can't throw the balls that need to be thrown to show me that he's a franchise quarterback. That's just my opinion.
Man, I can't disagree with one word in that entire audio clip. And that shows he's maybe a little bit fair and balanced because he's being very critical of Dak.
Ooh, political, Sean.
Fair and balanced. So I thought that was a very fair assessment. As he says, he is still diehard Cowboys watching them every single week.
I think it is. I think that a lot of people view that, and I think it's not totally crazy. I mean, he's not Drew Brees.
And that's why I've argued for Zeke's importance to this team more than Gurley to the Rams and more than Le'Veon to the Steelers because of how much they have to rely on Zeke to carry everything. Those other teams do not. Those running backs of those other teams can be more luxuries. Zeke is the foundation, the cake, the bread and butter, any cliche you want to throw out there. Hatcher, should the Cowboys extend Dak?
I think he the one should be getting a franchise tag over D-Law. That's just my opinion. Like, they should be, like, franchising him and make him prove himself like Jason Garrett. But I don't know. It feel like they're covering up a lot. Like, give him the playbook. You're going to pay him some money. Give him the playbook and let him go see what he can do. Like, don't hide him. Like, I feel like, for me, watching them, what they do, they kind of hiding him.
Oh, I would love to see them just give the playbook. You know, I prefer the quarterback to have far more control anyway. I'm a quarterback call the play guy.
Yeah.
That's just me. I think that they've made these quarterbacks, you know, just so one-dimensional in the fact that they're just, hey, just do what we're telling you to do. Keep my thumb over you the entire time. Man, have some self-confidence in your own coaching ability that you can coach these players up and let them do their thing.
He's got the same exact dream scenario that I had to where you didn't have to commit the money to Dak. Now, Dak's not, you can't franchise tag Dak. And the way the NFL works is once you are a year before the expiration, then the deal's going to get done.
Yeah.
But
especially for a quarterback. I mean, very rarely does, like, you know, Kirk Cousins was the anomaly where, you know, he was getting tagged, you know, on those 1-year deals. quarterbacks don't make it to free agency. They just don't.
Now, I have been getting some text messages saying it was not all love for Hatcher within the locker room. Some people text me, oh, there were thoughts that he was a bad guy. I didn't hear much about Jason. I'm trying to remember how many years
you were here. You were here 1 year,
okay,
with Jason.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I'm just speaking from my own, like, my own personal dealings with him. He was never, he was always a good dude.
But he's getting destroyed by a lot of Cowboy fans, yeah, for having a quote-unquote agenda. I mean,
I don't know his agenda. He didn't, again, he wasn't run. It was, if I remember right, it was a scheme. I know it was a scheme change. Okay, I know they had that because they did go from a 3-4 to a 4-3. And then he decided to take the money and go to Washington.
Yeah, he went to Washington to play defensive end, yeah,
and that
because
was his
of the scheme.
That was his payday, and he made it known. He's like, this is my payday.
Yeah, 4 years, $27.5 million.
Okay. Yeah.
Go to the nation's capital.
Right. All right, now the ultimate conspiracy theory around here, and we may not have a ton of time to get into it, but I want you to hear it. You've heard it from our Cowboys analyst, Jesse Holly. Did the Cowboys quit on Wade Phillips that year that Jason eventually took over?
Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I saw Jason Garrett sabotage this man.
Ooh, you believe that?
Absolutely. We ran three freaking plays before this. We went 13-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
They call it Camp Cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the media say. We was flying around. We was out of pads in week seven. We was beating people head in. Now you go in Camp Cupcake. Now we go in and do what Wade don't want to do. We get in pads. We beat each other down. We tired. We not fresh. And then you go and call 3-4 plays to this man get fired. Guess who was the interim head coach?
It was Jason. Right.
My point exactly.
Body shots.
Whoa. Why are you standing up? You got a cramp?
What are you doing? You're doing the Rocket Ishmael SI cover with your arms spread out like you're at Notre Dame.
Laughed at. I said this in 2010. And I said it again in 2011. And 2012. And 2013. And I was told, keep your crazy opinions to yourself.
You did, and that did happen. And Jesse Holly, people tried to mute him as well.
Yep. I don't need Blue Chew today. I didn't need it last night.
Woo!
Ew.
Okay.
Sabotage.
You could hang like a koala bear right now from this thing.
Tony Romo, bad teammate, selfish, elitist, keeping to himself. Jason Garrett sabotaging. And we have like 10 more audio clips, all fire, from Jason Hatcher. Props to Ben and Skin for creating news for everyone else throughout the Metroplex again on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.